You've tuned in to Hub Talk, a podcast about teaching, learning, and technology.
Okay, welcome back to this episode of Hub Talk. I'm Colin Stapp, and without Bill Hamlin today, but I'm excited because we are closing out the fall term by talking to Jessica Howard, our new president, who has been here now going on about 6 months, I think, including summer term, because you came in the summertime. So welcome, Jessica.
Thank you.
We started off, for all of you that remember and have listened to all of our episodes, we started off our fall term with a live interview with Jessica out at our faculty retreat. And so we thought it'd be a nice way to end fall term by having her come back and kind of close out, as she mentioned earlier, go full circle. So to get us going, what are some highlights from fall term that you have?
Well, there's no doubt that kickoff was huge for me personally. It was great to see everyone here in force and to address everybody. And it was really a whirlwind couple of days, because it wasn't just, you know, the comedy skit, the Chemeketa Today.
Oh, right.
With Jim Ustrom and all of that. It was, you know, and me having my opportunity to sort of introduce myself and talk a little bit about, you know, how impressed I am with Chemeketa and this place. It was also going to department meetings, and it was, you know, different ways to meet people, from the lunch outside to, sure, again, these various sort of breakouts and smaller groups. So it really felt like I was able to get to know folks, at least initially, mm-hmm, a lot during that first week. It was kind of a concentrated opportunity. It was incredibly fun. I enjoyed it very much. And there was so much of a kind of a welcoming spirit that I perceived from others.
That's
great. It was just a very warm welcome. And it
that's
was
great.
I love that. So that's definitely high on my list of high points from the fall. Another would be I had the chance to attend a portion of the ABE GED program review. And the first program review I've been to here at the college. And it was wonderful, in part because, of course, it's a great opportunity to take a look in depth at a program that's doing such good work, but also because they began their program review that day with a panel of students.
Oh, nice.
And it was very moving, and it was very specific, and it was just incredible to see how the program has affected people.
Yeah, right? That's
all different kinds of people.
Oh, I bet. And that's a great way to get to know, obviously, those students that were there and the faculty and support staff and everything.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was powerful. And then, you know, there have been a lot of other awesome things that I've had the privilege of attending at all of our locations. And that was wonderful, because each location has its own character and quality. Mm-hmm. So that's really important. I also really like the 5 and 10 year employee recognition. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't that long ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe.
Yeah.
And that was really awesome, because, you know, it's a tradition. And so, and every tradition is particular to the place.
Yep.
And so it was great to have not only the folks who are at that 5 and 10 year mark, but someone else there sort of to support them, often,
sure,
a supervisor,
yeah,
or a colleague. And then to know that the college counts even all the part-time work,
right,
that someone engages in as part of the count, which I think says a lot about the institution.
Was that a big group that was there?
It was pretty big.
One?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It was in that big room in Building 8.
Yeah. That says something about the longevity of people wanting to stick around.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I really do think that people have an authentic choice when they, mm-hmm, elect to work at a community college, and mm-hmm, it's really about the values and the mission, and, you know, it's not really, it shouldn't feel as much like a job as it should feel like a cause, and I just felt that in the room. So
that's cool.
A lot of commitment and real sense that they had given a great gift,
yeah,
of their lives and their careers with the college. So it was very, very good.
Did you get a chance to get to any athletic events or anything like that?
Oh, yes, I did. I will say I was a very, very vocal supporter at the NWAC, I guess it was the finals of the men's soccer championship, and that was at Woodburn High School. And so for the first time in my life, I was able to sit on the side with, you know, the teams and the coaches. And I think you're supposed to be kind of, you know, a little less fan-like. And I failed that test miserably. I was running around, and the other team had to ask me to please put more distance between me and and their like bunker area.
Nice.
So yeah, okay. So I was out of control
from the start. Of yes. Storm Athletics.
No question. Bring on the Storm. That's
awesome.
What I have to say. Yeah. It was incredibly. These students were this win meant a lot to them, mm-hmm. and they were working very, very hard. And you know, the motivating words of the coach were, "How much do you want this? How much do you want this?" And they just played their hearts out. It was incredible.
Yeah,
it really was.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, what were some of your short-term goals that you kind of first identified when you were arriving at the college?
Well, I knew that it would be important and it would take a while for me to get to know the culture and understand it. And I don't think that's something you can do in 6 months. I
sure.
think it's often it takes a couple of years. And the board was also pretty clear that they really wanted me to get to know folks internally and externally. So it's the community, and it's not one community, it's many communities, right?
Yeah.
The McMinnville, yeah. You know, environment is very different than here and all around. So I have been, trying to be in as many places as possible, trying to get to know folks, trying to absorb what it means to be part of this world as someone new coming in. So that was my overriding goal, was to not make big changes because I didn't feel like I would be informed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is a place that's has its own traditions and its own history of excellence, so many amazing people. It's important for me to understand what that is. So that's what I focused on. I would say there were some things that I think I've been pretty visible. I've been around a lot. I've tried to go into every single building on campus. Sometimes I walk in, most of the time I walk in unannounced, and I'm sort of wandering around like over in the mailroom area, and someone was trying to help me, and it was kind of funny, but that's how you get to know people.
Yeah, just
right?
to meet people.
Just to, not as, here comes the president, but just, hey, I'm Jessica, and I'd love to get to meet you.
Sure.
So I've done I've tried to do a lot of that.
So have you gotten to every building on campus that you can get into?
I think there are still a couple that I have yet to get into. One is that building that has, that is locked. It's locked. It's 39.
Something
like
38
that.
38 or 39.
38, yeah. I got close, though. I looked in the window and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I'll get in there.
Yeah. You just need to find a faculty member in there.
I do.
And bang on their window.
I
and
do.
Have them let you
yeah.
in.
It might be a little alarming, but
yeah.
A couple buildings I have left.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you've been here 6 months, have you identified some new goals? And can you share any of those mm-hmm. with us?
Well, you know, one thing that I happened to come in right on July 8th. And so in the first 2 weeks I was there, the executive team was the time of the year when the executive team was relooking, was sort of coming up with the strategic initiative placemat.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I had an opportunity to play a role in that and getting that that whole format to look more like a handful of things to do rather than a list of everything we were trying to do.
Right.
I thought that was a big effort. And now what does it mean for us to actually monitor doing those six great big things through the year? I think that's one of the things that is on my mind for mm-hmm. the next couple of terms. I think it's one thing I'd love to get a handle on is we've got a lot of committees and we've got a number of councils and we've got a lot of kind of work groups and task teams. So we're trying to kind of plot those out and see what is the relationship between all these bodies. And it's almost like, you know, coming from a place like PCC, right? My sense is it's small enough to where you've got a lot of people. There's like two or three people are on a lot of committees. Like these two mm-hmm. are on this one and this one's on this one. And certainly among the executive team members, there's a lot of kind of overlap. So it's like we're small enough to be overrepresented, and not overrepresented, but kind of
right.
on a lot of these groups.
Yes.
I'll say that.
in a lot of meetings.
In a lot. There you go. But then we're big enough to where sometimes things fall between the cracks because this governance committee actually doesn't report to anyone over there, which you would think it would. And then you're sort of relying on the two people that happen to be in both committees to communicate with the other committee. So
sure.
I think that there's it'll be great to look at that and see kind of where that leads us. And hopefully make it so that we're communicating even better, right?
Right.
And I would say another, probably the biggest thing coming out of this first 6 months is that, and I've said this to a number of folks, but I can't tell you how many times I've had people say, Jessica, what is your vision for this college? What is your vision? What is your vision? And my response back, which may be less than satisfying, is, you know, it's our vision. It's not my vision. I'm not going to come in from the outside and say, we're going to do this when I've been here once, you know, 2 seconds or something.
Right.
So it's really, but I think maybe because we are so organized with this sort of strategic placemat and these initiatives and things, it's almost like we have a vision statement. But it may be that we just need to do some more of this, what's on the horizon, particularly as we're coming to the end of our strategic plan, to the end of our accreditation cycle. And we're sort of at this moment where, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, in a minute, but the world of work is changing dramatically. And so what Chemeketa is going to be doing in the year 2030 is probably going to be significantly altered than what we are experiencing right now. I don't know how that would not be the case given the changes and the rate of change, technological change specifically.
Sure. Yeah.
So I think it's worth kind of looking around the corner to get a sense of how we see our trajectory moving forward. And that is visioning. That is visioning. And that also means doing an environmental scan and looking at what's the best information we have for what this future is going to look like, in specifically here in our area. And so we're going to be doing visioning towards the end of this academic year. April 24th, I believe, is when we're going to have, it's a brand new in-service day.
Yeah, during spring term.
During spring term.
That's exciting.
It's going to be great. And that's where we are actually going to engage everybody in this visioning process. And I think it will help us as we start to figure out how to plan around that corner.
Mm-hmm.
And people seem to be really excited about that. There's sort of a hunger for a sense of direction beyond a list of things that we know that we're working on.
Sure. Well, it just gives us it gives faculty more time as well. As you found out, in-service is just so busy and there's so much planning that's happening right before the term. This is just another way to step back and kind of plan before fall term hits us do that visioning for even longer term, I would imagine.
Well, and you're exactly right. I think the afternoon, a lot of the academic programs will have that opportunity to really plan for fall, because you can't plan for fall the 2 weeks before fall starts.
No.
So it's about kind of, I think, starting to view our planning cycle a little bit differently. Because there are lots of, you know, people are doing annual plans. We're working on learning outcomes and program outcomes. We're working on these key performance indicators. That sounds great, but how do we actually fit it into the academic calendar so that, you know, people can actually do something with it in a timely fashion and can learn from what we're trying to do?
Yeah. So you made a statement, which is a great segue, that what we're doing now may be totally different than what we're doing in 2030. And you shared an article with the faculty about the future of higher education in the U.S. What are some of the trends or challenges that you kind of see coming that were listed in that article that could alter how the college does things right now?
Well, you know, there's a couple of different ways to answer that question. I think one is just very kind of, it's a business answer. And that is, you know, we want to stay viable. We want to do for our community the most that we can to help educate and train its citizens so that we've got a robust economy, people, you know, reach their potential,
That's
have the a wonderful
of
life.
Community colleges.
That's what we want to do. And if we're not, I think we need to really be forward thinking in order to stay viable, because the reality is that we're going to be competing with our four-year partners in ways that we've never seen before, in the next few years as the pipeline of students from high schools to colleges declines. It's that mm-hmm. birth dearth thing. And it's actually already happening. And so we need to be thinking about how best to partner within an educational ecosystem so that we're part of the solution and not something that a for-profit does online for a lot cheaper.
Right.
Or something. I mean, that's like sort of my most horrific example. So I put that forward. And so I think we need to be really, we need to understand the market forces. I think that, mm-hmm. so that's one answer. But I think that there are some things that we can probably be pretty sure about, even looking into a crystal ball that has a lot of unknowns in it, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they say some huge percentage of jobs in the year 2030 haven't been invented yet. So it's kind of like, how do you prepare for something you can't see? But I think that there's some kind of buckets of work or strategies that mm-hmm. make a lot of sense for community colleges. And this is just me based on absorbing articles like the one you just mentioned. One is, there's just no doubt that online education is going to be a permanent feature of our landscape. And that means not putting what we do in the classroom necessarily online. It means providing quality online education in a way that suits the student who is enrolling for that reason. So I think we need to open up our thinking around that in terms of term limits or term lengths,
mm-hmm.
in terms of, you know, I know we're you know, moving towards a new learning management system. What does it mean to have all kinds of options in terms of connecting, you know, resources, all of it? What does it mean to teach online? What does it mean to create student resources online?
Sure.
All of these things. And I mean, some people do this really well. Some entities do this really well, and they've put the student at the center, the fewest number of clicks for them to get in. I mean, all of these things. And I think we need to think about that. We've had a very, very strong online presence. We've been known as an online leader in the state. We've got a lot to, I think we can build from. So that's one. Second thing is, I think the closer we are with our K-12 partners, the better. I think that there's a recognition that bringing students onto a college campus who are in high school is a very good idea. And so what does that look like? What does that look like for us? I think there's a lot of opportunity there.
Well, and there's a lot of partners in a 3-county district like ours that mm-hmm. we could work with.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that I just think that, and that's an area of growth too. So mm-hmm. that's kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Third, I think it's a good idea to partner with our universities the ones in our region, or generally speaking, as much as possible. So for instance, our partnership with OIT, where they're on our campus and they're offering the dental programs, you know, in kind of concert with the ones we have. And so we are sharing students and we become a place for people to come and access, you know, the kind of a more than just what we offer, but also what our university partners offer. And I think that is a very strong model too.
A little more holistic mm-hmm. in that manner. I mean, if you think about the OIT model and that we are sharing students and then they can do everything that they need to do pretty much right here.
Right.
Or online.
Yeah,
in some courses for some of their general studies and things like that.
Exactly. And I think the more, again, convenience is becoming one of the biggest reasons why people make choices now, mm-hmm. right? And so if we can bring the whole path to the student on our campus, we will always be a destination for them. And there's some things that work much better in person, right? And a lot of the clinicals and all those things, I mean, it really has to have, applied learning.
A lot of the CTE programs, manufacturing, electronics, things like that.
Exactly. And then an OIT then has a presence in this region because we're partnering. Mm-hmm. And so we are stronger together and our students in the region have more choices. So I think that's another big key. So it's online, it's K-12, it's universities. And then the other thing I would say is I think we need to be incredibly focused on what how the workforce is changing because of technology and artificial intelligence. That's going to change a lot of jobs, mm-hmm. and it's going to mean that increasingly our primary student is going to be the working adult.
Right.
Because it's really going to be lifelong learning in a way that we've never seen. So what does it mean for us to offer that kind of education and training within the workplace? Again, right. Here's where that online piece can be really helpful. But I think it's more than that. I think it's credit and non-credit. Mm-hmm. I think the whole idea that, we need to get a credit credential and then you can take it with you. I think that's never going to lose its value. But I think we're going to see different formats to provide the kind of training and education that employers and people need. Mm-hmm. And we have to lean into that, because if we don't do that, someone else will. And I'm not sure that they'll do it as well as we can.
Do you see that even maybe changing how our terms are structured or things like that with the working individuals and that convenience and that the time constraints of a term? I'm not saying we just get away with terms, mm-hmm. but the time constraint of a term mm-hmm. could be a barrier, a hindrance to some students.
It absolutely could. And we already work around and creatively with things like apprenticeship models and stackable credentials and all kinds of things. And we just have to be really innovative when we think about that. And I think a lot of that is coming from the career and technical education mm-hmm. area. Mm-hmm. But I think there are applications for that across the board. So I think it's about, Chemeketa is a very innovative place. This is a very innovative place. And if that sort of becomes our through line, I think that's a way we can authentically grow into being a college that is navigating this changing world for the benefit of our community. Sure. And is not afraid to try new things and to see what works.
Well, I think the key was what you said is being viable and forward thinking. So looking around the corner, like right. you were talking about a little bit ago, and right. seeing what's out there.
Well, in this article, The Future of Higher Education in the U.S., this is one of those things that we're going to ask everyone to read for this visioning on April mm-hmm. 24th. So I thought, why not share it now when there's a break after the fall term? It's a little bit lengthy, but it's an easy read, and I find it absolutely fascinating. Some of the things in here, I mean, if you read the section on Gen Z, is just amazing how different that generation is.
Yep.
And, I have a 15-year-old, and I thought I was, I thought someone had been spying on my daughter. I mean, it's so accurate,
Yeah.
And while there are always, these are generalizations, but generation gaps, I think, are perhaps getting more significant now than ever mm-hmm. because of how these young people have grown up. And we need to be adaptive.
Well, and I think if we look back even like to my parents, and you think of our parents and generation gaps, we weren't talking about all these different changes when I was a kid.
Nope.
So now really trying to understand that Gen Z student, and they even mentioned it as iGen and things like that. And
right.
as I was reading about the Gen Z students in teaching my FYE class, I could see a lot of similarities in what they were writing in my class and what the research was talking about with these students.
Right.
So it is pretty interesting how spot on they are.
Right.
And I think really understanding those students that are coming in is critical to that staying viable as well.
Right, right.
We have to do different models of how we provide services, how we teach class, everything.
That's right, everything. And there also, with all of this, there's also that you probably read that this generation is more likely to be isolated and a little bit depressed and all these things, which leads us to the things that only humans can do, which of course mm-hmm. will become more and more valuable as artificial intelligence starts to become a more present part of our world. But what does it mean to provide the supports, to provide the sense of community that is authentic and palpable, right? Whether you're online or in front of somebody,
right?
What does it mean to be culturally competent as is not just Gen Z, which is very different from what's come before, but all of the students who are Latinx, mm-hmm. who are, possibly not subscribing to the gender binary. I mean, things that might blow our minds, we need to be as welcoming a place as possible, because that's we know that that enhances learning.
Sure.
And so that means that we're going to have to do work. We can't sort of sit there and say, well, I hope that they can adjust to us. Mm-hmm. We need to be a student-ready college. And that means we need to lean in.
Yeah.
And learn about where we're going and then feel like we're ready to do that.
And that we're reaching our students.
Mm-hmm.
What are you most excited about for the coming term? It doesn't have to be one thing. It could be many things. But what are some of the things that you're most excited about now going into your second full term at the college?
I'm really excited about, I think it's this whole build up to that April 24th, the visioning, because we need to do some things before that happens. What is the environmental scan data? This is one piece of it, the article we've just been talking about. But we need other data too, right? Mm-hmm. We need to have a sense of that. There's a wonderful article about artificial intelligence and the changing nature of work. That's something that I would love to send out to folks too. It is, and it's not super alarming. Sometimes people, when they talk about this, I just feel like I need to go home and go to bed or something. Right. You know, it's just completely overwhelming. But it's not that automation is going to take over every single job. It's going to probably take over portions of almost every single job.
Mm-hmm.
But interesting things like they predict it will disproportionately affect Latinos because Latinos are overrepresented in the food sector, in the food service area. Mm. And anything that's manual and repetitive is going to be automated.
Right.
So what does it mean then for us as a Hispanic serving institution? How are we going to help this, this population this burgeoning population that we're serving?
Sure.
And a lot of this is understanding what the challenges are and then coming up with other ideas. So I think that what's exciting to me is getting the information together so that we can make April 24th really amazing. And an opportunity then we're also going to be asking questions of our advisory committees that we have one for every CTE program to try to get their take. So we're sort of mining our own experts, which is you and me, everyone listening to this podcast, the campus community and the industry partners that we're connected to, getting the best thoughts there and then going out to the community and seeing what resonates. And I think this is what it means to to go in with eyes wide open and then to come up with a real, with a plan that works for us. And we got to play to our strengths.
Sure.
You know, one of the difficulties of being a community college is that you're trying to do everything for everyone and you can't do everything equally well. So where are we going to focus? And then, and it's leaning on strengths. And one of our strengths is our innovative faculty. And everything is better if faculty are driving it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any administrator, hopefully, who's telling the truth will tell you that. And so what does it mean to make sure that we're doing this together and we're doing it in a way that makes sense for the institution, but also understanding that the world is really changing very fast and we want to go where the ball is going, not where the ball is. I hate sports analogies, but that one works.
Yeah.
That one works for me. So I think it's about, getting together and figuring these pieces out. At the same time, of course, we're all busy, but I think this is huge. This is the work that we're already doing. It's just sort of asking us to look forward a bit and be as educated as possible.
Well, and it makes so much sense because we're telling a lot of our incoming students that they may have jobs down the road that don't even exist. So if our college is going to change in bigger ways than even have been identified, it's important for us to think ahead and kind of prepare for that.
Absolutely.
Even though we may not know what those changes are,
right?
We can anticipate, like you were saying. Right. I like the analogy of looking around the corner, like really, taking a hard look and looking into the future and seeing what we can be playing to our strengths, as you mentioned.
Right. And starting to think about it, because, most academic institutions are not, they're reflective by nature, right? And so we need to start the conversations now so that when the opportunity presents itself, we can be bold and we can do what we need to do. I also think it's a really exciting way of thinking about our world as opposed to, oh no, we're not getting the enrollments we used to get.
Right.
Which is a reality. And this is a counter to that. Because while I firmly believe most of that is just, frankly, the economy being so good, I don't want us to just sit around and wait and hope for the recession so that then life will be, you know, yeah. we'll have full classes again. I think we need to be, you know, looking to the future. This is a chance for us to define what it is we want to do, how we want to do it, and work with our community to get there.
Well, these are some great insights, and thank you for taking the time to close out the fall term and talk to us again. We love having you here at Chemeketa and glad that you've had a warm welcome since that you've been here, and look forward to some great things.
I love it. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Hub Talk. Please make sure to stay tuned for future episodes. Hub Talk is produced by the Center for Academic Innovation at Chemeketa Community College. Visit our website, facultyhub.chemeketa.edu, to find helpful resources about teaching, learning, and technology integration, along with video tutorials and more podcast episodes just like this one.